Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
Sport Radio's weekly spotlight on Scottish Speedway, as ever bringing you news, views and interviews from trackside of each of Glasgow Tigers, Edinburgh Monarchs and Berwick Bandits. I am Derek Smith, feeling relatively rested and ready to do a few laps of Speedway chat tonight. Thank you for the feedback on last week's show. Not one complaint, incidentally, about my Rocky theme tune. And thanks to the irrepressible blue and gold coloured views of the Speedway world by Graham Munsey Esquire. This week we've gone from blue and gold to black and gold, as I'm rejoined in the Tapes Up studio by my old friend, Gary Tate. Welcome back, Gary.
Thanks, Derek. Delighted to be here.
As well, as we'll hear shortly, it's been a busy week for Gary's beloved Berwick Bandits. Let's get amongst the points, the talking points, that is, and here's a roundup of what's on tonight's show. First off, a rare Tuesday night of Speedway as Glasgow and Sheffield faced off in their deciding knockout cup tie at Ashfield, but who would prevail to meet Redcar in the quarterfinals? We'll examine this weekend's home and away knockout cup quarterfinal tie between Berwick and Newcastle. Which side has made it to the semi-final stage alongside Edinburgh? We will hear shortly, as well as hearing from Gary Flint, Leon Flint, Nikolai Busk-Jacobson and Thomas Jorgensen. And of course, we will preview what is a very big week ahead as the Tigers head to Scunthorpe, the Monarchs head to Leicester, Edinburgh Speedway stages its annual Scottish Open, and Glasgow welcome some of the very best riders in World Speedway as they start their journey to win a place in next season's Grand Prix Series. We'll discuss with Peter Fasena what to look forward to at Ashfield on Saturday night. A mouth-watering week ahead. Let's clutch in, throttle on and tapes up. To Tuesday night then. Well, the expectation was that Glasgow had done the hard work by earning a first leg draw at Sheffield 2 weeks beforehand. The Yorkshire Tigers had nothing to lose as they looked to turn the tie around by becoming the first team to lower Glasgow's colours at Ashfield this season. Glasgow would start as favourites given their home form, but knew that they would have to fight to make a quarter-final place. Gary, Sheffield are a quality side, there's little doubting about that, but they do appear to have been misfiring this so far this season.
Yeah, yes they have. I mean, before the season started, they were very much a fancied side. They had two quality heat leaders in Danny King and Kyle Howarth, a young talent in Drew Kemp. I mean, he was much sought after pre-season. And a rider from the US, you know, is on the rise, Brock Nicol. However, I think their Achilles heel this season so far has been like in the third heat leader and second string department. It's been a bit inconsistent. Plus, Danny's coming back from a fairly nasty injury last year, so it's maybe taken him a little bit of time to get settled in. But I think they'll be a little bit disappointed how they've started the season.
I did expect the Sheffield riders to come out firing on Tuesday night, which they did do. Danny King became the first rider in a long, long time to head home Craig Cook in heat number one. And then the Sheffield reserve pairing scored a 5-1 in heat two. And it looked like Glasgow Tigers were going to have a big fight on their hands on Tuesday. But little by little, in fact, before not too many more heats, it was the home side Tigers who took control, Gary.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the final score, I mean, 54-36, and it's been a fairly one-sided affair. But obviously, the first couple of heats, riders are getting used to the track and the like. So, a fairly comprehensive win for Glasgow Tigers.
I think from Cammy Brown's point of view, and indeed the Glasgow support, you know, the positives from Tuesday night was it was a very good team performance. There was point contributions from throughout the side. Paul Stark appeared to find his scoring touch once again, 8 points. Kyle Bickley, yet another 8-point return from Kyle, and that was despite a last place in heat number two on Tuesday night. Rasmus Jensen, a 4-ride maximum, and Claude Wissing piling in with 4 points. Perhaps the only negative contribution on Tuesday night, and I'm sure the rider himself would admit to it, was James Sargent, who certainly had a big off, hadn't he, at Armandale a few nights earlier. But James, never lacking in effort, but he seemed to always be chasing a third place point, and he only scored 3 points in the end.
Yeah, I mean, James did have a big off at Glasgow on Friday, so you don't know if he's maybe suffering some ill effects on there. But I think, you know, in the past we've said similar things about James, is that, you know, the consistency side of things, and, you know, we say every year hopefully we'll find that consistency, just maybe a little bit blip on his score chart, but I'm sure he'll bounce back.
And talking to James afterwards, actually, he was telling me that he felt there was just something that he couldn't quite put his finger on within his setup. I understand subsequently that he's diagnosed an issue, and he's going to plug in a new engine that he's bought from Jason Doyle, no less. And we'll see how James goes when Tigers head to Scunthorpe on Friday night. We'll come back and talk about that meeting later. From the Sheffield point of view, Simon Stead, the team manager for Sheffield, you must have been disappointed, really, because you know Danny King, Kyle Howarth scored 9 points apiece at the top of the scoring chart. Brock Nicol, a good performance from young Brock, 8 points. Beyond that, you know, Messrs Proctor, Kennedy, Anderson and Kemp had really disappointing nights, Gary.
Yes, and I think it comes back to the point we were just saying earlier on. It's like the third heat leader, second string kind of department. Of course, Zane Kennedy had a big off at Berwick not long ago either, and he was out with an ailment concussion, so I don't know if that was maybe his first meeting back from there. But, you know, and Drew Kemp, I was surprised to see him only scoring a solitary point because, you know, he's been going quite well home and away for Sheffield.
Quite an amazing variance in performance levels from young Mr. Kemp. His last visit to Ashfield last season in the colours of Ipswich, he romped to 8 or 9 points, I think, from reserve in this season. Clearly struck finding life a little bit harder in the main body of the side. Some stats from Tuesday night. Glasgow provided 10 of the 15 heat winners, only 5 last places, and in heat advantage terms, Glasgow 8, Sheffield 3. So it was Glasgow Tigers who were up for the cup on Tuesday night. In the end, a pretty comfortable win over their fellow Tigers, a consummate team performance for the home side, and a deserved win over 2 legs, which now sees Glasgow Tigers progress to a quarter-final tie with Redcar Bears later this summer. With no additional meetings this week for either Glasgow or Edinburgh, all the action belonged to Berwick Bandits, who on Saturday night welcomed near neighbours Newcastle Diamonds to Sheffield Park, as both clubs contested their knockout cup quarter-final first leg. Bandits were forced into a team change as skipper Kevin Doolan sat out post his concussion sustained at Eastbourne last weekend. Gary, both sides are very familiar with one another. They meet in various challenge meetings as well. Very familiar with each other's circuits, of course. For that reason alone, this tie was always likely to be a very tough one.
Yes, I mean, Berwick and Newcastle know each other either very well, as you say. And, you know, form can sometimes go out the window when it comes to local derbies between the two sides. To be honest, I would have hoped for, you know, a similar result that we got in the Championship Shield at the start of the meeting. So that was we won by 14 points. But to be honest, I thought it would be tougher and tighter than that. So, you know, basically it did prove that in the end. You know, we did get up 10 points at one time, but finished 6 points up with the score being at 48-42. So 6 points to defend in the return leg.
The scoreless, a 6-point advantage for the Bandits on Saturday to take down to Newcastle on Sunday. You mentioned 10 points. The Diamonds pinched 4 points back in the final heat on Friday night. That must have been a sore one to take, Gary.
It was because we made the gate. Danny Gapmeier and Nikolai Busk-Jakobsen was in for us, and we kind of made the gate, or certainly Danny did, and the two Diamonds kind of picked them off going up back straight, and from that point on, the track was actually quite slick on Saturday night because the weather was threatening. So understandably, they didn't have too much material on it, but you know, it was a sore one, I have to say, but I would have certainly preferred the 10 to the 6 that we have.
And Bandits opted for rider replacement to cover for skipper Kevin Doolan on Saturday. A different policy for Brough Park on Sunday. We'll talk about that a little later, but was it the right thing to do, rider replacement?
Yes, I think it is at home because Berwick are strong at home and they've got cover. And, you know, when I knew that, you know, at the home leg it would be rider replacement, I was quite happy with that. I would have preferred to have Kevin, because Kevin's always good for a good few points at home, but unfortunately with the crash at Eastbourne, putting him out for 9 days with concussion, you know, we had to go. But yeah, rider replacement, I think, was the right thing to do.
So in the end, a 6-point first leg advantage to the Bandits, 5 heat advantages to Newcastle's 2 at Sheffield Park on Saturday night. Looking down the scores chart, Nikolai Busk-Jakobsen top scored for the Bandits with 13 points from 6 rides, Danny Gapmeier 10 points from 6, and Leon Flint, Gary, 8 points from reserve a terrific performance from young Leon.
Yeah, I know. I think every time I'm on the show, I probably mention Leon, but certainly at home, he's enjoying running at home, I think, and he's scoring, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 points. And, you know, at the start of the season, when you look at the two-pointers, if you'd said, you know, these guys were going to be scoring that, because you see Kyle Bickley at Glasgow, he's doing something similar. If you'd said that they were going to be doing that, you maybe would have been a bit sceptical. But these guys are you know, stepping up to the plate and scoring these kinds of scores, so it's great.
More than playing their part in the teams this season, Gary. And for the Diamonds, Steve Worrell, a top-scoring performance, 14 points from 5 rides, backed up by Lasse Bier and Thomas Jorgensen, who both scored 8 apiece. Well, perhaps a narrower first leg lead for the Bandits than they would have liked then. Afterwards, our Gary asked Gary Flint if he was happy with just that 6-point lead.
I am. We won. You know, you've always got to be happy with a win. We knew it was going to be harder than it was when they were here last time. But we won. We won down there last time, so, you know, it's only half time. We go tomorrow full of confidence and we'll look to do the business there again.
Good stuff. The track, obviously, prepared tonight, the weather was quite dodgy around this area, so it was probably a bit slicker than normal.
Yeah, it was. And obviously, that drizzly rain we had half time kind of made it a bit greasy, and then it kind of come to them again at the end. So it's the same for both teams, you know. I think the difference was Stevie Worrell, for them, to be honest. You know, he's a class act, and you can see why he is where he is. So, we go full of confidence, and I'm excited to see what happens tomorrow.
And a couple of notable scores tonight. Busk on 13-1 and Leon, 8-1 today. Cracking ride with Lasse Bier to keep him behind him. So what are your thoughts on those performances?
Brilliant. You know, Busk wants to be number one, and you know, you can see that in the way that he's riding, and Leon's just invested in a new engine that he rode tonight, and you can see the rewards he's getting from that as well. So you know, we're a team. You can't single anybody out. Everybody played their part, and we're here. We won, and like I say, we look forward to it tomorrow.
6 points enough, do you think?
Of course I do. I don't think anybody will beat us over 2 legs, even Eastbourne, and that's saying something for being 40 down. So, you know, if the team manager isn't confident, then the team isn't going to be confident, and I believe we'll beat everybody over 2 legs.
So Bandits team manager Gary Flint there, Gary, not prepared to admit that he wasn't happy with a 6-point lead, but I'm quite sure he would have preferred much more.
Yeah, I mean, one thing you get with Gary is that there is a confidence. He said it himself, you know, if he's not confident of going away from home and looking for the win, then how can his riders possibly be? But yes, as I said, a win's a win. Naturally, we'd have wanted more points, but you know, he's fairly confident they can defend it and the return at Bruff Park. So, you know, why not?
And with good reason. The Bandits already had success at Bruff Park this season, and as we said up top, it's a circuit that they know really well.
Yeah, I mean, we won at Bruff in the Championship Shield. Obviously, Newcastle have made one or two changes, but yeah, if we can do the same again, I'll be a happy man.
Top points scorer for the Bandits on Saturday night was their popular Dane Nikolai Busk Jacobson. For the first time this season, Gary managed to catch up with him to hear about his thoughts on the team win and his own season so far.
Well, personally, it went all right. I mean, we were a bit unlucky with a few bike failures and a few mistakes in the track as well. But, when they got a rider like Steve Rowell, who's pretty much maxing out, only dropping a point in the first one, it makes it hard work, really. But apart from that, I think we all pretty much settled in and scored the points we had to. Unfortunately, to miss Kev is a big loss. But I think we did all right. Unfortunately, we didn't win by more than 6, but we just have to pull it back tomorrow.
Absolutely. And is Newcastle a track you like?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, my first season was at Rye House, so I'm pretty used to the small tracks, the tight bends, so it actually suits me well. The issue tomorrow might be like to get all riders to click in at the same time, because it's way different compared to the Berwick track.
Yeah.
So But if we do like last time, you know, it shouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed for that. And obviously you're back at Berwick and you're riding for Poole. Are you happy with your own form in the season so far?
Yeah, well, kind of. You know, I've had a meeting at Glasgow where I scored 5. I had a meeting at Sheffield where I scored 5. But apart from that, I've pretty much double figured every time. So my form is, for Berwick, hasn't been too bad really. Of course, when you're riding too much, it's a bit hard to like sort of like get yourself pumped up for every race, and you know, like struggle a bit with like thoughts and everything, you know, because when you're riding that much, the only thing you have in your head is pretty much speedway. So you know, you never really rest, and as much as your body has to rest, your brain has to as well, and that's been my issue, you know. But I've had good meetings for pool, but I've also had bad ones.
And in terms of being back at Berwick, obviously we're glad to see you back riding for the club. What do you like about Berwick? What is it that makes you want to come back?
Oh, there's a lot of reason for that. Pretty much the atmosphere up here. Everyone is talking with each other. There's no hard feelings. We can say whatever we want to each other, you know, like making a joke with each other as well. And you know, I like Jamie and Scott, Gary as well, but you know, like Scott, he's not here as much anymore, so but apart from that, you know, it's Jamie and Gary, the same two guys as last year, so it hasn't been a mega change from last year. And I like the fans. I like, you know, the club is good in general, really.
Clearly, a rider full of confidence at the moment, Gary. He sounded a little bit tired. I think he hinted there that he's got a busy itinerary already this season, but doing well for the Bandits.
Yes, he is. I mean, as he said, I think he's had a couple of you know, single figure scores for Poole and for Berwick, but on the whole, he is scoring double figures. I did actually chat offline to David Howe, who rode for Berwick last year, and he's a full time mechanic this year, and he said he's done, since the start of the season, they've done over 50 meetings already. So no wonder he's maybe finding that he's sounding a little bit tired.
That's quite a tally of meetings, given that here we are only just nudging into the month of June already. And I guess that will be, as you mentioned, Berwick, Poole, and some domestic Danish league meetings, presumably.
Yes, I think it may be Grinstead he rides for a bit, but yeah, so he's jumping over Denmark, coming back to Poole, up to Berwick, so yeah, busy guys.
So piling up the motorway miles, the air miles, and the points, thankfully, for the Bandits. And Gary, a young rider who we touched on already when we looked at the scorers from Saturday night, and he has impressed. A particularly impressive performance on Saturday night is young 16-year-old, or 17-year-old at most, Leon Flint, son of team manager Gary, of course. And you managed to catch up with the youngster on Saturday night and asked if he was satisfied with his 8+1 return.
Yeah, it was good. A little bit of a shame we couldn't get a bit more of a gap with the score, but we still got the win at the end of the day, and hopefully it won't be a problem tomorrow as we won there last time, so hopefully it'll go.
And the race with Lassabiere, teaming up with 5-1, absolute cracking race. What's your recollections of it?
It was all right. I obviously, well, by the sounds of it was good for the fans, but at the end of the day, I was, you know, just riding my bike, just trying to keep that second place. But obviously, it felt good to beat a rider like that. But still, like, that's what I'm aiming for every week, and I don't see that as such as a big, you know, well done to myself, as I want to be beating them every week. I'm not trying to be like cocky, I'm just trying to, you know, have like self belief in myself. If you don't have that in speedway, it's game over.
No, it was a cracking ride. And in terms of your form this year for Bellevue as well and Berwick, are you happy overall with how things are going?
Hopefully this will be the turning point now, as I've just bought a new engine. That was my first time riding it tonight, and I mean, by the score, it didn't seem to be that bad. But yeah, hopefully this can be my turning point. I mean, I've not been doing really bad, but I've not been doing, you know, up to my expectations. And when I achieve that, then I'll be happy.
And then turning to tomorrow night, Newcastle, is that a track you enjoy?
I mean, it's a track I enjoy to ride, not to race, but, you know, you've got to race every track, and, I just need to kind of, you know, grow a pair and just go for it.
Isn't it great, Gary? You know, week by week we hear from the young brigade, as we, as you and I can authentically call them these days. But, you know, 17 years of age, speaking with such maturity about his own ability and where he is in his speedway development.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that was, I mean, the ride against Lassabière to hold him off, I mean, literally a metre between them, going into third and fourth bend at least three times, you know, it was great. You got the crowd going, but it was interesting to hear his like reaction. It was like, you know, well, I want to be doing that every week, to riders, you know, of similar calibre, Lasser, because Lasser's a very good rider. So, you know, if that's the kind of attitude he's got, then, you know, fantastic. And, you know, hopefully Berwick will benefit as the season goes on, and Liam himself as his career progresses.
I like that attitude. You know, a young rider clearly concentrating on his own game and doing the right things, riding his own bike, which is what he likes to do, but not fazed at all by the reputation and the experience of riders lining up alongside him at the starting gate.
Yeah, I mean, you hear now and again riders say they don't really pay attention to who it is, they just concentrate on their own game. But I'm sure on the other side of the coin there will be riders that look that way as to who I'm riding against and maybe become overawed. But obviously Leon is just trying to learn his trade, and it is his first year and step up in the championship, so, you know, fair play to the young man.
Another young man with a healthy and long future ahead of him. So that last heat 5-1 to the visitors in heat 15 set things up rather nicely at the halfway stage of this cup tie, as both sides look to conclude the tie on Tyneside just 24 hours later. To Bruff Park, Newcastle then, where last night both sides would battle out for a knockout cup semi-final spot. Based on the overnight score from Shielfield Park on Saturday night, Gary, would it be fair to suggest that perhaps the Diamonds would start as favourites yesterday?
I think so. I kind of hesitate because, obviously, as we said before, the meetings between Diamonds and the Bandits usually serve up, you know, to be a close affair. So, but I think they'd be, you know, well pleased with just defending 6 points.
Well, before we hear what did happen yesterday, here's Gary speaking with Diamonds heat leader Thomas Jorgensen, reflecting on that overnight 6 point deficit.
We would have liked to obviously go and win. I mean, 6 points not too bad. You know, we can easily, I mean, not easily, but we are capable of pulling that back and at home. So I think today we just struggled a bit with our gating, and that wasn't made much passing. I think Stevie made an awesome pass in heat 11. It must be. And that's more or less the only one. And you know, personally, my gating has not been the best this year myself. So I'm working on that, and yeah, I'm sure we can pull that back tomorrow. Sorry.
And in terms of your own situation, you're riding for Newcastle in the Championship, Kingsland in the Premiership. In terms of how you're finding the Premiership, how is it this season?
It's okay. I mean, I'm not really scoring the points I should do, and I mean, I'm number five in Premiership too with Lynn, so I know it's only a number, but I still put that extra pressure on myself, which I shouldn't do. You know, I should just go and enjoy riding, and then the points will come, but I tend to do that to myself, and as people know. But yeah, I just need to get my gating gloves back. That's my biggest struggle this year. I feel like I've got plenty of speed anywhere I go, really, and you know, at Newcastle this year, I've sort of got dialed into that track. Again, gating is a bit of an issue, but I've managed to do some crazy passes I should probably avoid, you know. But yeah, I guess the crowd loves it. But
Speedway, isn't
yeah,
it?
That's it. Yeah, I mean, when you have to do it.
Thomas Jorgensen, Gary, a rider who's now experienced, he's ridden in Britain for quite a number of seasons, and a very capable rider. Perhaps the Diamonds didn't see the best of him on Saturday night.
No, and you know, as you said, you've seen from the interview, Thomas admits himself his gating's not been the best this year, and he kind of senses he's been kind of hard on himself because of that, and his scoring's not been is what he would want it to be. But you know, you always get a good shift from Thomas. He'll try his hardest for any team he rides for.
So the Bandits management introduced Glasgow's Paul Stark as a guest replacement for the injured Kevin Doolan at Bruff Park yesterday. Gary, in terms of Paul Stark's contribution and indeed the final score.
I mean, 57-33 to Newcastle. I have to admit, I did not see that one coming. And, you know, personally, you know, really disappointed for the club, the team, the fans, etc. But, you know, fair play to Newcastle. They've put in a really strong performance at home and they're through to the next round of the Cup.
I must admit, I didn't expect it quite to be such a walloping down at Bruff Park yesterday, Gary. 99-81 was the final aggregate victory for the Diamonds, who progressed to the semi-finals. A bit of an inquest in the Bandits camp, Gary. It's a track we touched on earlier. It's a track that all the Berwick riders have ridden many times before. It's not alien to them. The team rode well on Saturday night and took a lead down to Bruff Park, but at no point during the meeting yesterday did it look like the Bandits were ever quite going to make it through in aggregate.
No, it was, you know, backs against the wall from the off. And now that's two away meetings, you know, obviously the Eastbourne meeting, a 40-point defeat, and now, you know, a hefty defeat at Bruff Park. So I'm sure there will be the guys will be working hard to rectify that for future meetings, and you know, they'll be talking about it. I mean, they've got a great team spirit, and I'm sure, you know, they will you know, put their thoughts together and you know, come out fighting again.
For the Diamonds, only four last places around their home turf yesterday. In terms of point scorers, Lassie Bear top scored with 13. Max Clegg, a really impressive score from the number two race jacket position, Max Clegg with 11 points, and three riders, Steve Worrell, Matty Weathers and Thomas Jorgensen, all scored 9 apiece. For the Bandits, Aaron Summers top scored on 10 points, and Paul Stark scored 7 as guest for Kevin Doolan, and Liam Flint once again, Gary, 5 ride I think yesterday, but another very healthy 7 point return.
Yeah, 7 points is good for Liam. I mean, okay, it was over 6 rides, but obviously he was scoring points in most of his races, and you know, he was actually nominated for Heat 15.
So, disappointment after a furious weekend of Cup Speedway in the North East. It was the Diamonds who were victorious. Bragging Rights settled for a while. A quite different outcome from the Championship Shield battle between both sides. And it's the Diamonds who can now look forward to the Knockout Cup semi-final spot later in the year. For the Bandits, another poor performance on the road and some wounds to lick. You're listening to Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio, broadcasting on DAB Digital. Wherever you are, listen live on the move via the TuneIn app. Else listen again to tonight's show and play back each show as the season progresses via podcast, accessible from the RockSport website, else from your favourite podcast app, inclusive of iTunes and Spotify. After the break, we'll preview Glasgow and Edinburgh's latest Southern search for league points, and also preview two prestigious events being staged in Scotland this weekend. Stay tuned.
Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
This is Tapes Up, talking Speedway here on Rock Sport Radio. Glasgow will look to keep their bandwagon rolling this week as they visit East Lincolnshire on Friday night in search of more league points against Scunthorpe Scorpions. A narrow defeat there last season and their strong start to this season suggests that Tigers will hope to go pretty close once again. Gary, with Scunthorpe showing some indifferent form so far this season, Cammy Brown will be fairly confident, I think, of closing out another away win on Friday.
Yeah, I think you know, Glasgow should be confident of going down to Scunthorpe and getting a good result there. I mean, obviously Scunthorpe have made some team changes since the start of the year, and they lost Jason Garrity as well, unfortunately, to a broken hand at the British semi-final, I think it was, on Friday night.
Yeah.
So that'll put pressure onto Scunthorpe. But, you know, I think one of the things you find when you hear Cammy certainly talk and the riders, there's a confidence in the Glasgow camp and they want to go and win wherever they go. So, you know, why not? Yeah, go down with confidence and see what happens.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how Scunthorpe do contend with the injury the injury to Jason Garrity, who I would imagine will not be available to them on Friday night with a broken hand, surely. And if yesterday's meeting at Sheffield was anything to go by, the Scorpions are still got a lot of fight in them, Gary. They went down by 1 point at Sheffield, having led the Tigers by quite a few points during the course of the meeting.
Yeah, and it was quite ironic because when Berwick was there, I know we're not talking about Berwick, but they did something similar. They opened up a big gap and then Sheffield come right back at them. But yes, obviously, turning back to Scunthorpe, they have some fight. So I'm sure they won't lie down to Glasgow by any stretch of the imagination.
And I'm talking here about indifferent form within the Scorpions camp. And, you know, the flatter to deceive on at home and away. Until recently, I think they had been unbeaten at home. Somerset beat them 40 points to 50 just 2 or 3 weeks ago. The Scorpions, worryingly for them, I would imagine, only provided 5 heat winners that night on their home track. But they have taken care of Leicester, Sheffield, Edinburgh and Redcar, the highest home score, I think, just once this season. The Scorpions managed to hit 50 points. It's not the track record of a side that Glasgow should go fearing. And Scunthorpe, as a race circuit, is one which is one of the fairer tracks in the Championship, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And as you say, the victories they've had have been over some good sides. But I think if you look at the average, I think it's about they're scoring 47 in their home wins. Well, obviously the 50-40 reverse kind of pulls the average down, but yeah, it's close meetings. So yeah, Glasgow will, I'm no doubt, have some confidence to go there.
Well, we've just been discussing what's been a very strong start so far this season for Glasgow Tigers. Here's team manager Cammy Brown looking ahead now to a Knockout Cup quarter-final tie and to targeting a win at Scunthorpe on Friday.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that. It's a match that'll be very difficult. But it's a winnable match for us, as I've said in the past, Derek. All the away matches we're looking at to win everywhere we go. We seem to be doing pretty well at home, so it's a match we're looking forward to, yes, and we'll take care of that when it comes.
And a slightly quieter spell in terms of fixtures. Next away fixture, of course, this Friday night, Tigers go back down to Scunthorpe, a track where we've had some decent performances, some decent results in recent seasons.
Yes, remember last season we lost by a few points. I mean, we only got 1 point, we were really looking for three. We're definitely going down there looking for 3 or 4 points on Friday night. But very, very difficult match. We all know we'll all need to contribute, and that means all 1-7 needs to, you know, put some points on the board. And if they do that, we've got a better than good chance of winning down there.
When you say 1-7, it's the UK debut of Conor Bailey joins the team at Scunthorpe on Friday.
Yeah, we're looking excited to see the young lad racing. Not going to put too much pressure on him on Friday. I think we can still get a result down there. You know, if Conor doesn't contribute too much in his first match, hopefully he will. Fingers crossed, and we'll see what happens, Derek.
So, Cammy, not giving too much away, but you know, he clearly his mantra these days, Gary, is that home and away, Glasgow always now expect to win, or look to win.
Yes, you know, as we touched on just earlier, yeah, and you know, they Glasgow have opened up, and I think they've only lost once, and they've won every other one except one draw at Sheffield, I think. Well, just to ask Derek, who's the team that the Tigers have lost to this season?
My ancient history isn't all that great. I haven't got that written down, Gary. I have no idea. I think it might be Sheffield Park, I think it was probably.
Indeed it was, yeah. Yep.
You rascal. Interestingly, a couple of notable team factors for the Tigers on Friday night. Rasmus Jensen, I believe, is unavailable to the Tigers due to another racing commitment, and to be confirmed in terms of how the Tigers will cover Rasmus's absence on Friday night. And Friday night will also see the UK debut in official competition of young Conor Bailey, who will pull on the number 6 race jacket for Tigers at Scunthorpe, Gary. And looking at social media over the weekend, Conor's now he's built his bike, which has arrived in a crate from Australia. And if you've seen the footage that I did, he looked quite sharp for a young lad taken to the Ashfield circuit for the first time.
Yes, I have seen that footage, and yes, he does look a stylish rider. Obviously, going around the track circuit on yourself is not the same as racing another three riders on the track. But yep, he seems to be has something. So we'll wait and see what happens on Friday.
And as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, you know, the Scunthorpe track is probably one of the fairer ones on the circuit. So you know, that might have fallen fortuitously for Conor that he's going to make a debut on a circuit that he ought to be able to get to grips with, I would hope.
Yeah, you're right. It's not what we would call normally a tricky track. I'm not going to name any that I would class under
oh,
there.
But
yeah, I mean, it is. It's a pretty fair track, Scunthorpe. So yeah, as I say, we'll see how Conor goes at Scunthorpe.
We'll do some score predictions before the end of the show. Tigers will be targeting to keep their winning form and high spirit rolling. We'll cover off what did happen on next week's show. This Saturday night, Edinburgh Monarchs will enter the Lions' Den, quite literally, as they become the latest visitors to league leaders Leicester. Form going into this one suggests another tough night for the capital side. However, they will hope that the addition of Victor Palovara, reintroduced to the side as a temporary replacement for injured Justin Sedgman, and the ability to select a track specialist guesting for the injured Josh Pickering can bolster their chances. Gary, anything can happen and often does in the marvellous world of Speedway. If you were a travelling Edinburgh fan, though, what realistically would you hope for come Saturday night?
Good question. I think the way that Leicester have started the season, I mean, they're sitting at the top of the table and there's good reasons for that. I mean, when you look at their home wins, they are big, big scores. The majority of them, I think the closest was 49-41, the Sheffield. You look at their average score over their six meetings, they score 55. If I was an Edinburgh fan, I think if they could get a point, that would be a magnificent achievement. But I can't see it, but that would be a great achievement if they could come back with a point.
Some of those performances, some of those results that you've highlighted for Leicester, Gary, you know, it's come on the back of having suffered quite a few injuries. You know, Josh Bates, Ryan Douglas, Jack Thomas, to name but three of the team, have been sidelined for a couple of weeks at a time, and it's even more credible that the Lions haven't at all stuttered.
Well, no, but when you've got Scott Nicholls and Richie Worrell, you know, two of the heat leaders, you know, they are very good riders, so. You know, you can guarantee double points for them at home anyway. So,
looking at just to pick out, we're talking injuries, aren't we? Unfortunately, and you know, Josh Pickering. The news from the Edinburgh camp this past week is that Josh Pickering is expected to be sidelined at least until the end of June. I think he's got a broken or a cracked shoulder blade has actually been diagnosed on top of the ligament damage that was initially diagnosed. And in the home camp, Josh Bates, there must be some doubts over Josh Bates, who was forced to withdraw from the British semi-final at Redcar through injury. And in fact, in any case, if I'm not mistaken, Josh Bates should be scheduled to be in Glasgow on Saturday night because he's named as the first reserve for the GP qualifier event.
Yeah, well, just by the sounds of things, then if he's neither, then you know they will obviously need to bring in another reserve at Glasgow. But Josh has had such bad luck at the start of this year. I mean, I think he hurt himself when he was guessing for Berwick at Edinburgh as well.
That's right.
In heat 15, I think he hurt himself the next night again. And I just kind of keep fingers crossed that Josh gets a good run at a few meetings.
So Edinburgh, no doubt, will look to Messrs Wells and Heaps to lead the line around Sheffield, around Leicester, I should say, on Saturday night. And I would imagine the Monarchs must be looking to, you know, to Cameron and Ricky, Gary, to be hitting double figures each if they've got any chance of scoring what would be considered to be a respectable scoreline. Joel Anderson, Victor Pallavaara are very capable riders. I'm not quite sure what their pedigree is around the Leicester track, of course, but all suggestions are that it's going to be a tough night for Edinburgh.
Yeah, you need, as you say, Cameron and Ricky to hit double figures, absolutely. And again, it depends who they bring in, as the guests. So, but definitely, you'll be looking for a respectable score at the minimum. As I said before, if they could get a point, they'd be over the moon with that, I'm sure.
We will get your score prediction before the end of the show. So can the Monarchs, given the inherent and historic rivalry with Stuart Dixon, pull off what would be considered as a major surprise to win, or at least take a point away from league leaders on Saturday night? We'll cover off how it all unravelled on next week's show. Outside of team meetings this week, this is a very big and hugely prestigious week of Speedway north of the border. It kicks off at Armadale Stadium on Friday night as Edinburgh stages the long-established Scottish Open. Gary, this particular event has, to Edinburgh's credit, over decades of staging it faithfully, season in and season out, been a regular fixture on the Edinburgh calendar. And there's been some very, very good riders competing and have lifted that trophy over the years.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the first meeting was around 1920 at Marine Gardens, and I think other than a few years, on and off, it's been, as you say, been held. And it, going back to the point about the previous winners, I mean, in the 50s, you know, you're talking people like Jack Young, in the 60s, Barry Briggs, 70s, Ivan Major, names like that. More recently, Greg Hancock, Sam Emelianko. And Berwick's even had a couple of winners at Wayne Brown in 1981 and Stan Burza, of all people, in 2006.
Yes, yeah, some real quality riders over the years whose name is appended to that lovely trophy. And looking at the lineup this time around on Friday night, a change in format, incidentally, as well. I think possibly for the first time, the field being reduced to 12 riders, a 12-rider format.
Yeah, I understand that that's the case. Yeah, 12 rider format, and you know, it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But I'm sure it'll work as good as any other Scottish Open has in the past.
But looking at the riders named thus far, Sam Masters, who I think is currently the only previous winner of the event, the 2014 winner. So Sam Masters comes back to Armley once again. Home number one, Ricky Wells, runner-up over the last two seasons. I'm sure Ricky will be determined to take one higher step on the podium come Friday night. Richie Worrell, third placed last season. And you know, Richie, his form and his ability to around Armadale is undoubted. And Richie must start as favourite, potentially. Couple of home riders, Joel Anderson, Cameron Heaps, will line up in the event. Dan Bewley making a welcome return to a championship track this season, given his return from horrendous injury. Josh McDonald, a young lad who originally had packed up his kit bag and travelled over from Australia, destined to ride for Workington before the Comets pulled the plug on their Speedway future. Josh McDonald still in the UK to his credit and looking for to pick up some rides. And Bandit skipper Kevin Doolan will make a track return in the Scottish Open on Friday night, Gary.
Yeah, in terms of you know, the remaining riders, it'll be interesting to see who they sign. I'd really like to see Rory Schlein back to see if he can defend the title again. So I'd be surprised if it wasn't Rory, but there'll be a very good reason, I would imagine, if he's not there. But yeah, Sam Masters, he knows Armadale well. Ricky, current number one. And you know, obviously, I'll be rooting for Kevin Doolan to put in a good performance.
It'll be interesting to see who. There's four more names yet to be added, and I think that will happen at the early part of this week. But given the current lineup, I think Richie Worrell and Ricky Wells to me would appear to be the standout names. Sam Masters, of course, has every capability of winning the event. But for me, I think Richie Worrell might be the man to meet on Friday.
He may very well be. So yeah, interesting to see how that one pans out.
So Edinburgh making the most of the prevailing injury situation to once again put together an attractive as possible lineup to contest this year's Open title. Edinburgh fans, whose name do you think will be etched on the trophy as the winner come Friday night? Drop us your comment against any Tapes Up related social media posts or start your own. Year on year, Glasgow Speedway has been recognised as a perfect venue to showcase some of the very best in World Speedway. A World Team Under 21 round and the only test match in the UK, world champion elect and all, were staged last season. This coming Saturday night, literally, an absolutely mouth-watering lineup of World Championship Speedway talent will descend on Glasgow's Ashfield Stadium this Saturday night. One man who, at a guess, might just be as excited by the prospect as every supporter planning to be there is Glasgow Speedway Supremo, Peter Fasena, who joins me on the line now. Hello, Peter.
Hi, Derek. How are you doing?
Speedway Supremo, do you like that, Peter?
Very good, yeah.
Very befitting. Peter, a big event, of course, coming to Ashfield yet again this Saturday night. And year on year, given all the investment in the stadium and the track, Glasgow Speedway was rewarded, of course, last year with a couple of high-profile meetings. And given the lineup, such a high-quality lineup for this event on Saturday, yet another huge event to look forward to.
Yeah, no, we can't wait for it. It should be really good. You know, I think the FIM came along to the Under 21 team event last year, and they really enjoyed their time at the stadium. They were really impressed with the setup and how well everything went at it. So, you know, in the back of that, you know, we've been rewarded with this event, which is fantastic. So, really looking forward to putting on a good show this year, and then next year we'll go for the actual GP challenge, I think as well.
Well, that's even more mouth-watering prospect, Peter. And the circuit, you know, the Ashfield track has been producing better and closer racing, I think, week on week this season. It's never been better. And Glasgow supporters will back us on that. This event, though, given the quality of the lineup, really should be a standout.
Absolutely. You know, we know last year, because of the horrendous weather we had after we'd done the changes to the track, that we never really got a chance for it to properly bed in. But, you know, I have to say the track guys, led by Chris, have been doing a phenomenal job, and they give up so much of their own time to do it. And the track's been amazing. I mean, the weather we had over the weekend there and on Friday, I went across to the track last night not thinking that Connor would be able to do any laps, but because of the money we spent in the drainage and because of the job the guys have been doing, you know, after that rain, I was amazed that he could actually get a few laps in. So, you know, I think when these top stars in the world come, then, you know, we'll really see proper racing, because everyone knows prior to the changes, you know, there wasn't many lines for overtaking. You had to really ride the fence or be very brave. Now you see, you know, continuous overtaking through each race. So looking forward to having these top guys here. The racing should be phenomenal.
And there truly are some top stars coming to Glasgow on Saturday, Peter. We've already had the injury withdrawal of Hans Andersen, of course, from the Danish international. And I guess with meetings all around Europe this week, you'll have your fingers crossed that there's no further enforced changes to the lineup.
Yeah, no, absolutely. They want all the top guys to come through. I mean, obviously, Robert Lambert did really well in the Grand Prix at the weekend. And you know how good Craig is at home. And you've got the 2012 world champion, Chris Holder, there. So, Neil Christian Everson, current Grand Prix rider. So, you know, it's top guys. And ultimately, you know, they all want that spot. So, there'll be no quarter asked for given. And looking forward to seeing Smiktala as well, the under-21 world champion, the Polish boy, because I think he could be spectacular as well.
Indeed. And Peter, you've already hinted at some future ambitions for the club, but, you know, can Glasgow Speedway now be considered on the international Speedway map for bigger and better events?
Yeah, I think we can. I think the track's here. I think we've got the set-up. I think it's a tidy stadium. You know, we've got enough seats and terracing now to hold 2,000 or 3,000 people, which is, I think, you know, not saying we'll ever hold a Grand Prix, but I think meetings like this or future test matches, then absolutely. You know, the transport links to the stadium are good. You know, we're fortunate that because we own the stadium, we can run any time we want, effectively. So no, I hope that we keep pushing on and we'll be able to bring news soon about other big events that are coming, possibly even in this season.
And Peter, finally looking ahead to Saturday, I understand that advanced ticket sales are going very well indeed, and a big crowd will be expected to pack into Ashfield on Saturday night. What advice would you give to travelling supporters?
Well, I would advise them to go on and get their tickets now, because, yeah, the ticket sales are going really well. There is a chance that it might be sold out, so I would, if anyone that wants to come and see these stars, because, you know, some of them you're not going to see in the UK other than maybe at the Grand Prix in Cardiff. So I would advise fans to go on and get their tickets booked and, you know, make a weekend of it. You know, that's what I would do. It's a Saturday night in Glasgow, lots to do, lots to see. So, you know, hopefully lots of fans from over the UK can come and get behind the event and certainly come up and support Robert and Craig as they push to get back in the Grand Prix circuit.
Peter Vicena there talking to me earlier, Gary, and you know, fever pitch is a word often used in the world of sport in terms of, you know, anticipation building up to a big event. And I think I'm sensing some of that amongst some of the social media posts that I've seen.
Yes, and understandably so. I mean, when you see meetings like this coming north of the border, I mean, it is a big thing. And, you know, you just hope that, you know, some of the fans from down south will also travel, or still travel certainly up to Glasgow, because the facilities are obviously very, very good. So, but yeah, when it comes north of the border, you know, you're right, the fever pitch picks up, and, you know, social media can only help promote that.
When you look at the lineup, Gary, you can make a case for quite a number of permutations in terms of four or five riders, you know, qualifying, finishing top of the score chart on Saturday and progressing to the next round. Craig Cook, you know, on his home track, some may argue will have some home track advantage, but given the quality of the opposition, I'm not quite sure that's a thing. Is home track advantage a thing when it comes to this level of opposition?
I think it can. It has to help. It has to help. And Craig's form is great around, you know, Ashfield. But it's very, very good in the championship on a whole. But yeah, I think it will play a part for Craig, definitely.
And a couple of the riders, just to pick out, you know, Dimitri Bears, Tero Arnio, Austrian Novrotil, Nico Cavati, possibly won't start amongst the pre-meeting favourites. However, those riders have all had previous experience racing around Ashfield, albeit the track perhaps is slightly, you know, reshaped in the last season or so. But given their recent performances in the Speedway of Nations, these guys will travel to Glasgow hoping to pull off a shock.
Yes, you know, of those you mentioned that were in the Speedway Nations, they performed well and consistently down in Manchester and in the rounds they were in. But yes, I mean, they're not going to start as favourites, but they could be spoilers. They could be spoilers.
So get there early, please, is the strong recommendation for Saturday night. A big crowd is expected as supporters travel from around the UK to enjoy a rare this season appearance by Messrs Holder, Christian Everson and Smictala. Dear listener, excited about this week's Speedway. How do you see things going? Please do get involved with the show via Facebook and Twitter. Feel free to post your thoughts and opinions against any of the club posts which promote Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio, or start your own. Gary, he's doing it again. That man in the corner of the studio is waving that checkered flag at us. Don't know who he is. I've enjoyed the Speedway chat once again. Thank you for your input and being here in the Tapes Up studio.
Well, thank you, Derek. I've enjoyed it again, you know, and hopefully there'll be other opportunities as the season progresses, but thank you.
You never know. Cross my palm with a fiver. Our thanks to all our interviewees tonight. As ever, please do keep across all the social media output from each of the Scottish sides and visit the official club website for the forthcoming Fix Your Picture, and, if you haven't been before, to find out how to get there. Until then, enjoy your week and your Speedway. Good night.
Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.